Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Zach Reed. I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast. It's session 310 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, even. It's been so long that I forgot how I opened this show. That's bad. Ugh.
It's not good.
It's not good. We're not low. Welcome, everybody. How's it going? How's it been? How you been? How's it going? And all of that fun stuff. It is the epitome of the dead season for real fantasy football, for real football. Of course, not for people like Zach, who actually put in work for rookies, and people like me who wait for Zach to do his work on rookies for me to just listen about it. And the even worst part is I'm so behind on life that I'm going to have one like great day where I just learn about all of the rookies.
Well, you have the option, though, Russ, to be on the clock and just text me and say, what do you think about these four guys? Like, we can do that. I do that for you.
That's true. Yeah, you have an in. Everybody else has to listen.
But then I'll have to text J. Mike at the same time also.
to get the different and second opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pros and cons.
I mean, I love you, Zach, but J. Mike, you get it.
I do.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Zach, why don't you remind everyone, even though you're on this show as much as I am these days, who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Wait, did you just call Zach an elephant?
I've been called much,
I called
much worse.
His work.
Okay. Rockford.
So, Zach Reed, I am at Tacit Assassin 13 on Twitter. Dynasty Dummies. The lesser half of the Dynasty Dummies. You mentioned J. Mike at J. Mike Check. He is the real star of the show. He carries me. And currently, the Dynasty Dummies are in the midst, the throes of the 2024 Dynasty Dummies Rookie Hootenanny, where we go through everybody in the world. This week, we're headed to our 24th wide receiver. We've already talked 12 running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends. We got it. If you need it.
Oh, and it is so, so good. But also, don't forget, Sir Zachary, that if people were to go to fantasycares.org/, is it Dynasty Dummies or just Dummies?
Dummies.
Fantasycares.org/dummies, your donation to Fantasy Cares can get you all of Zach's write-ups on all of the rookies he has watched. How many are we talking?
Right now, we're 48, maybe 50. I don't know. It'll end up pretty close to 60 by the time we're all said and done. And the beautiful thing about that is not the write-ups, but Bob Gilchrist has done an amazing job making them look pretty and professional and like something you'd want to read.
Yeah, and since the three of us have a rookie draft coming up in 14 days-ish, I'm going to have to donate to get those reports because I don't know nearly enough. I haven't any picks this draft, so I guess I don't even need to.
Is that poll leaning the other way? I haven't even looked. Is that leaning towards where it is?
Yeah, so I made a very heavy quotes home league where it's three people from my real world. And then it turned into, you know, Rocky and Zach and, you know, all my friends from the internet. And the one deal, the one individuality this league has to just a normal league is the draft. The rookie draft is before the NFL draft. And every of the three people from home has petitioned to have it pushed to after the NFL draft. I was trying to get them interested, trying to get them to like pay attention, to get into the dynasty world, and clearly it's not working as well as I wanted it to. But the fun part is all league votes have to be majority rules, and it's really hard to get more than like seven people in a league to vote on something. So we don't know yet. It's five or four changing it. There's a total of nine votes. Okay, so it's five, four. Okay, that's really – five are in favor of pushing it, four are in favor of keeping it, and three people still need to vote. So it is
One of them is me.
This year is going to – we're not going to change it this year anyway because too many things have happened with trading picks and, you know, the drafts in 2 weeks. But this is for next year anyway. So I'm going to need to start learn about some rookies first. But – before I start learning about rookies, let's talk about the somewhat news that is going on. Thanks to you, Mr. Frank. I did not post the Patreon link, and that's why there are zero people here.
Keep going. I got it.
You're the best. You are my hero. I am embarrassed. So, Frank, I'll thank you again when you get in here. We'll save Rashee Rice for the end because we'll move that right into the trades because we actually have one. Niners and Brandon Ayuk are nowhere close on an extension. And this is not surprising at all. If you remember like the day after the Super Bowl where Brandon Ayuk was already saying that he wants the ball more, like he did not waste any time at all. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like just coming off of loss, you're a little upset. You wish you could have done more. Like Travis Kelce screaming at Andy Reid on the sideline during the game, you know, one of those things. But like, we actually had a sign and trade. Like I was shocked. Like I keep saying, everyone's like, oh, sign and trade, sign and trade, sign and trade. And I'm just like, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. And then the Chiefs did it. They re-signed Legarius Sneed and then traded him. Of course. I was going to say, yeah, he plays defense, so that doesn't really count. But he's like one of the best corners in the league at this point, so that has to count. So I am hoping that even if they do somehow do something, even if it's a short-term one-year deal, they trade him and he can work out an extension with a different team. Because I want that dude to get volume. I really like Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I would like him in New England. I mean, he's head and shoulders above anything that is in that receiving core.
Also, probably literally, he's a pretty big dude.
And he looks like Mike Tomlin. You didn't see that tweet? He tweeted out something about their twins or something like that. And then I don't know if he posted or somebody replied posting the pit. And they actually do kind of look like somebody photoshopped, I think, Mike Tomlin's face onto his or Brandon Ayuk's hair onto Mike Tomlin or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Like, I feel like, how do I adjust my dynasty ranks based on this? I feel like he goes up. Yeah. All right. Well, that's, I things are different now that I know this, and everyone now go Google it and look at Brandon Ayuk. But I guess that's really, again, there's nothing we can really talk about but it's just worth mentioning at this point. This one is a little interesting. The Dolphins extended Raheem Mostert through 2025. And it's funny, Frank even puts, wouldn't be brought up on a bigger news day, but let's not crown HN as king of the Dolphins backfield just yet. And it's funny, like, I kind of thought they'd let him walk. Like, if they kept him, it would be because he knows the system and because he's still pretty good. But I think I would be less worried if they brought in a rando as opposed to bringing back Mostert. Because, again, we've seen Mostert be very good in that offense. And I don't know if Mostert's capable of slowing down with how fast that man is. So, like, I feel like, again, it can't be bad for HN because we saw him do what he did last year, but like, is this bad for HN?
I mean, it's not good for HN. It's, but they're both the great thing about the Miami system and the two running backs in the Miami system is They run the ball to space. Both of those players are space runners, and neither of them need particularly high volume to be efficient. I think Mostert is going to, again, be the red zone guy. That's kind of how it worked all last year. He had 18 touchdowns last year. And so you're going to, I mean, it may be a little bit different split because you had the injury to Achane for, you know, a good portion of the season, but they're both good backs. Neither of them need a ton of volume in order to be effective because they are so fast and that scheme works so well to their strengths.
You guys pretty much said it. Like we've shown he can be productive on less touches. And I don't think whether it was Mostert or not, I don't think we're ever going to see Achane get like the bulk of the huge amount of the carries. But, and also too, the one other thing I was just going to add is one other thing we've not seen Russ is Mostert play many 16, 17 game seasons. So,
fair.
We kept saying this all last year, and he actually did play the entire year, and Achane's the one who got hurt. But it could easily reverse this year. So, and I mean, he's 31, I think, at this point, Mostert. So,
yeah.
You almost expect an injury at some point. Not that you're hoping for that, but I'm just saying you might see Achane get a month of a big workload if he can stay healthy.
So I have Dynasty Trade Calculator open at the moment, and Devon Achane is RB5. And I'm so stuck on how to really actually value Devon Achane because what we saw was so small sample, but also what we expected. I mean, not the production, not like 200 yards and two touchdowns every single time he touched the ball, but, you know, like he's fast. We knew he'd be fast, you know, that kind of thing. And we knew he fit in Miami's offense. But, like, are you comfortable having him above Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams? I mean, Saquon, like, age probably screws him over at this point. But, like, is he that high up for you? Like, RB5-ish?
Probably not that high. But, again, we're in this really weird era of running back. We're like, we haven't had the class of three or four or five backs since 2017. So we're in this kind of a dip, and it's hard to look at any of those running backs from like, well, from where Achane is to like probably running back 12 or 13 or 14 and really be mad at somebody having players up, which again, to me is a pullback. Like, I'm not paying up at this point for most running backs. I just am not. I'll go pay up for the elite backs. I'll go pay up for, you know, McCaffrey and Bijan and Breece Hall in that tier. But the rest of them, I think I can get similar production from, I mean, almost anybody from 6 to 20.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that I don't really want to pay RB5 prices, but I mean, there's numbers and someone's got to be five, and that's basically I'm looking at the DLF ADP, and I mean, it's hard to argue anyone below. I mean, ETN, I guess maybe is someone you can argue above him. He's actually seven on their ADP. I might they have Taylor and Kyren Williams above him. I might put him above at least one of them. But ETN is just below him. Barkley's just below him. Walker's just, I mean, is there any reason to put anyone other than maybe ETN higher than Achane? Kyren Williams is just above him. I don't know that I'd necessarily, I mean, Kyren Williams was amazing last year, but I don't know that it's definitely going to continue going forward.
But it's like five or six by default because like, exactly. there is no that whole group, there is no running back five. Like this whole group starts at where, like RB10 or 11, but there's nobody up above that in that gap. Like it's like probably ETN, maybe Barkley, but again, you haven't seen everything you've wanted to see from Barkley over the past couple of years, whether it's you know, him or the Giants or a combination. It's the Giants, but you know, it's,
and I like what he could be in Philly, but it's still what he could be in Philly. We don't know. Yeah.
So it's just a weird, we're in this weird twilight zone of running back where Achan is there, but he's not, that's not where he should be, but we can't, like, you can't do anything about who's in the league.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated. I'm doing the April Superflex DLF mocks, and listen to this draft I started. I have the 101. Josh Allen, Tua, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins.
Whew.
This is like the most me thing.
I was just going to say, that is such a rough draft.
I'm not used to having Josh Allen, but like starting below Josh Allen is like the most, like I'm in love with this team. Like
You got to get Ridley on there at some point.
It'll happen. Like, I'm going to see if I can convince John to turn this into a real league at this point. Like, this is going too well for me. Okay. So the last thing he has on here is Chiefs sign Wentz. Not sure if he's out there on waivers, but Mahomes has missed games before. This is one of those things where, like, if you have Mahomes and he got hurt, you don't start the Chiefs quarterback. But, you know, it's there. It happened. It's in the world. And let's finish up the news by the Rashee Rice saga going on, which day to day has been, it's been evolving. And it started out where there was a giant car crash near Dallas and where he, I think, grew up, but at least definitely went to college. And there was a car that was registered to him involved, and they were looking for him, but he was apparently in hiding. And then it turned out he was driving one of them. No one was hurt. And he is now cooperating with the police and has, you know, attorneys and all of that stuff, to where at first people were talking about there's going to be years in jail, and now it's maybe he'll get probation. So now, I have heard one or two people say that there were character concerns with Rice coming into the league. I have no idea if that is real, because that is honestly not something I super really consider very often. Like, if there's that big of concerns, they're not going to get drafted high enough. And if they get drafted high enough, that means they're talented enough that they don't care. In which case, I don't care, because we play based on football. What is your, before we get into a value and all of that stuff, because we do have a Rashee Rice trade and there's a little bit of a story that builds into it. What's your feelings on Rashee Rice right now? Is he still worthwhile? Is he good? Are you out now because this is ridiculous?
I mean, it is ridiculous, but no, like, I don't know enough yet to react. So, like, if I have Rice on my roster, I don't think I'm moving him. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you get a reasonable offer. I don't know what a reasonable offer is.
You might as well say what you think a reasonable offer is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's where we're going eventually, anyway.
But I think I'm probably just hanging on to him. You probably got him for a second last year. I just hold, like, I don't know. You never know what the NFL is going to come, regardless of what the legal system in Texas is going to say. You don't know what the NFL, whether they'll just shrug or whether they'll, you know, suspend or what. So I'm still holding pattern. It's too soon for me to know enough to make a decision.
I agree with everything Zach just said. Drew Davenport, who does a lot of legal threads, he's a lawyer. He put out that he doesn't think it's real cause for concern in terms of playing time and suspension and all that right now. But he mentioned, as sort of Zach alluded to, like, unless something comes out about guns or something else going on that we don't know about. So for me, he's also a hold. I think Frank put in the chat, I'm selling him for any first. I would probably do that, but I think some people would have done that before this happened anyway. Like, a lot of them would sell him for almost any first. But I'm definitely a Holden. I don't know that I would have sold him for any first before this, because I am definitely intrigued by Wright. I'm not sure what to think, but anybody that can get 100, you know, garner 100 targets in their rookie year in a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. And
yeah,
I kind of was more interested in acquiring him than selling him even before this. And so he would definitely be a hold for me. I wouldn't even mind buying. We have a trade on the sheet that we're going to talk about, and I think I lean the Rice side on this because
lean the Rice side on
this. Because I feel like this isn't, well, I mean, if something were to come out more, then it could blow up on you. But otherwise, what the price they're paying is not that much.
Yeah. Like, so before any of this happened, like, I was starting to, like, I really liked the Hollywood Brown signing for Rice because, like, the Chiefs have been trying to find a deep guy for a while, but they've been doing it cheaply by trying to get MVS, trying to get Hardman, though I guess second round picks, I think Hardman was at least in the second. But we know that Hollywood is good and he's good down the field. Yeah, he's down the field over the middle, but that's also seemingly where the Chiefs want to throw the ball anyway. But getting a good down the field threat is great for Rice because most of Rice's plays are real quick slants or screens. And having the defense actually have to worry about more than 4 yards down the field will free some space up for Rice. So, like, I thought this was good. And I, before all this, I had Rice, I think at this point, like, below neighbors above Odunze-ish, like, in that, like, 107 area, like, maybe, like, in that mix of those wide receivers. And it would really, like, how I'm feeling on the day, whether I wanted to have the fun rookie or the guy we've seen in the league. And now at this point, like, I'll push him down a little bit past that. But, like, the 107 to the 109 isn't really, like, the biggest thing. I don't think I'm out on any first. But it's confusing. And here's, let's just go into the Trade Addicts trades, which are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And this did happen in TA1. And so the Rashee Rice manager goes into the league chat and says, well, he put him on his trade block, like, updated his trade block of just Rashee Rice, and pretty much said, send offers, like, getting rid of Rashee Rice. And I reply, I'm like, I wish I had the guts for that kind of gamble. And then half hour later, we get an email that a trade was completed, and it was Rashee Rice for the 205, 403, and 405. I see that and I'm like, oh man, I totally have the guts for that kind of gamble, but that is not exactly what I thought. I thought it would take more than that. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think I have any picks or anything in that league because I'm me, but, like, I was not ready for a mid-second to get Rashee Rice. Now, a little context, this was March 31st. So it was when there was someone thought to be majorly injured. And, you know, back when it was, he might be facing jail time for reckless endangerment and not
felony,
avoiding arrest, not avoiding arrest, whatever. Like, when they couldn't find him kind of thing. The words are failing me because I'm old. But yeah, like Rocky said before we even started talking about this, like, he sided with the Rice side on this. Yeah, like, what risk is the 205? Like, not much. So, like, again, I was willing to settle a late first on what I'm feeling on during the day, that day. So mid-second, I would easily take the risk on what we've seen be a really solid wide receiver too.
Yeah, I think I would I don't think I would want to give up a first right now. Just because everything isn't 100% certain on everything that went down there. But definitely beforehand, I would have, and I would even up late first. I think I was slightly lower than you, Russ. I don't know if I'd go as high as 107 to 109, but definitely just below that range. And right now, like I said, more of a hold to me. I think I'd give up almost any second, though, like, at this point. Because I expect, like I said, after seeing the Drew Davenport threat, like I said, unless we find out there was tons of guns or something more happened than we know about, I expect he'll probably end up just playing through this, and it's not gonna, it'll probably be settled out of court or something like that, and we'll have like probably forgotten about this in a year.
Yeah, and I think the thing that gets the interest in the second, and I'm on the right side of this because I'm gonna poo poo the second a little bit, but you're hearing a bunch of people run out the hot take that this class is so deep that second round picks are like first round picks. And I've heard that in a few different places, and they're not, they never are. Most of the time, first round picks shouldn't be first round picks. This class, we happen to have seven or eight that should be first round picks, which is really cool. That's very deep. And so that second is still a mid second, and you're not even going to get the running back one in a class that doesn't have a running back one at the 205. So, I mean, whatever. It's the 205. You may hit, but chances are maybe 25%. So.
Yeah. I was going to say something and I completely lost it and forgot what it was. Oh, well, I'm sure it wasn't great. So let's move on to the next trade anyway, because, you know, we've Rishi Riced enough. The next trade is TA9, and this has been a long developing trade. I can't even remember how long ago this was, but I traded away a share of Devonta Smith, and it hurt my soul. So I went that day and offered trades for Devonta Smith to every single, in every single league I'm in where I didn't have him, except for like one or two where Rocky had him, because I'm like, all right, that's just probably not going to happen. And one of them was in Trade Addicts 9 with Vito, and we kept getting close. We kept getting so close, and then, you know, we'd get distracted and forget about it. Then we try again. And finally it happened. And the trade we finally pulled off was Devonta Smith for Zay Flowers, Dontavian Wicks, and the 401. Now, I have to be honest. I feel like in the past I've offered him more than this. But it was based around Devonta Smith for Zay Flowers plus. And I really like Wicks. Like, I have to be honest. Like, I really like his usage, how they and like, I think that there is a world where he becomes the second target behind Jaden Reed, but I really like Devonta Smith, and that may, first of all, the many Wicks shares I have because he doesn't cost much, and because I really like Devonta Smith, and this still felt like a good buy for me.
I'm on the Smith side. I mean, I hate to, I don't, you make me choose sides here, but
it's literally what we're doing.
Yeah, I know.
That's the point of the show, Zach.
I know, but it is. I would rather have Devonta Smith. I think that he is, or Devonta Smith, I think he's a one from the two position. I think the Philadelphia offense ends up being better this year than it was last year. I think they end up throwing more. I think he is a very good playmaker. And not to say that Flowers isn't, not to say that Dontavian Wicks didn't show out a little bit as a rookie, but I'd rather have the one piece than the two that I'm hoping get to be the one piece. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of how I operate. And I think... And Russ, we talked about this a little bit in a DM with Peter Howard, but I think that position that Zay Flowers is playing is changing. I don't think that there are as many pure slot receivers in the NFL right now. And I think that because the NFL shifted to get faster and smaller and run more kind of junk defenses, nickel defenses, and that sort of thing. What they try to take away was that quick slot type player. Not that Flowers can't succeed at that, because he obviously is and has, but I think that specific position where you are a slot receiver is kind of going away right now and will go away until the offense shifts back to big. And then the defense has to react and shift back to big. And then you will end up seeing slot receivers again. But the days of having, you know, Jarvis Landry and Welker and Edelman and, you know, every team having Tyler Boyd putting up wide receiver one, fringe wide receiver one seasons, like those days are not here. And so I'd rather have a player who I think is a little more versatile from the slot and the outside in Smith than I would Flowers.
See, I was ready to blame Michael Thomas when you were talking about like Landry not being a thing anymore.
He's the big slot, though.
Yeah, but like he's the X playing in the slot. And it's like get out of my lane, buddy. Well,
and that's a big part of it too, because you're seeing more and more of the X outside receivers slide into slot usage. So it used to be, you know, 10% of snaps were slot, you know, for the number one wide receivers on teams. And now it's like 25 or 30. And so there's more of that usage, which leaves less for some of the other guys.
So I agree with Zach, and I was going to say a lot of what he said. Not all that smart stuff about slot receivers and their place in the league. But before that, about the trade, the main thing that he hit on that I was thinking is, to me, like, Zay Flowers is a guy that I think his ceiling production-wise is Devonta Smith. Even in an A.J. Brown, wide receiver one offense, I don't know that he ever outproduces that Zay Flowers as the one in Baltimore ever outproduces Devonta. So, and Wicks is not a nothing here. I agree with you. But to me, that's a small price to pay to go from Flowers to Smith. And you know what you have in Smith. And there's a very non-zero chance that him and Brown aren't together that much longer. Smith has a contract coming up. There's been some minor issues with AJ Brown in Philly. I don't think he's getting traded or anything, but like anytime soon, I just think that there's a non-zero chance that they're not together. And if Devontae Smith gets to be a wide receiver one, AJ Brown in that offense helps him, but I think he could get a lot, you know, with more volume, he could produce more, either with the Eagles, if AJ Brown were to go, or if he goes somewhere with at least competent quarterbacking.
Now I'm just picturing wherever T. Higgins goes, Devonta Smith ends up being there, and me being happy and sad because, you know, T. Higgins gets saddled with another very good wide receiver across for him, but then it's also two players I really like on the same team. I think that's really what I'm going for. I just want all the players I like on the same team because I kept, like, you know, putting Ridley and Higgins on the same teams, and now I'm trying to put Smith and Higgins on the same team. Okay. It's good. It feels good to know what I want. You know, I'm growing. That's good. I'm glad we could do that together, guys. All right, so let's move on to the listener questions because, like I said, this is a real dead zone. We are, 23 days away from the draft starting, so it'll pick up soon. First question we have, X, Chainbanger X. If Tacit Assassin 13 could have the hair from any celebrity, who would he choose?
Well, that's an easy one. Anthony Kerrigan from Barry. You know, NoHo Hank.
When I saw this question, I was going to say I was hoping Zach would pick someone who was bald.
Yeah, I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. Like I get up in the morning, I don't have to worry about what I'm doing with my hair. You know, I can go play basketball and come home and just hop in the shower and you know, rinse off and soap off. I don't have to, again, no shampoo, no conditioner. I don't have to mess with any of that. I can body wash and call it good. Like, I like Anthony Kerrigan. I think he has alopecia. Like, I don't think he has any hair, and that would be even better.
Yeah. I can't picture you without facial hair. That'd be weird. I'm not ready for that. Don't bring that up.
Oh, don't mention that. Kyle's got a great picture of me with just a mustache when I worked in the shipyard in paint when I was painting.
Oh, are you kidding? Like, it's really funny. I was talking about this with my wife because we were telling our friends about it and how ridiculous I always look. Whenever I trim my beard, like whenever I like really shave it down, like because I can't remember the last time a real razor touched my face. Like, because I just, why would I ever? But like, you know, I have a beard trimmer and I'll not put an attachment on it, so it's practically shaved down. I have this illogical fear that the buzzer is just going to die on me in the middle of trimming my beard. So I will trim it down so it always looks like it's on purpose. Like, I'll do my cheeks real fast so I have mutton chops and a goatee. I'll get rid of the mutton chops. I'll get rid of the chin so I have a regular mustache. or I have the Fu Manchu, then I'll get rid of the sides, and then I'll get rid of the mustache. And, like, of course, I act like the buzzer will wait until I finish part of, you know, the in-between.
Yeah, you're not just going to have one mutton chop. Or...
yeah, exactly. And again, this is not rational whatsoever. But of course, every time I finish one part, I'm like, hey, hon, look, mutton chops. Hey, hon, what do you think? Goatee, right? She just points. She doesn't even say anything anymore. She's just like, go back now. What about you, Rock? If you could have anybody's hair, who would it be?
I didn't know I was going to be asked this question. I hadn't really thought about it. You know what? If I could have anybody's, I'm trying to think who has a great beard, because that's whose hair I'd want. I cannot grow a friggin' real beard. I'm sure some people would rather they couldn't grow the facial hair didn't grow that fast. I wish I could grow an actual beard. If I let this go for like 6 months, it's going to look slightly more hairy than this. Like,
that's like 5 days. I mean, yeah. I don't know, man.
So I'm blanking off the top of my head. If you guys have got anybody with a great beard, that's who it would be. Because I don't care about the hair on top. I got plenty out, and I'm good up there too. So, but maybe if I was bald, I would care more, like balding. But I don't care. So, and I think I would look awful bald. So I would not want to be bald.
Oh man,
Francis, that looks great. I would not
mustache on Rocky.
I could never grow it, even if I wanted to.
So my idea of this got ruined because you should be following at FantasyCares.org on Twitter. And recently there has been posts with the fantasy footballers. Yesterday was what rock and roll movie scene would you put Hitman Mike Wright in? Today was what food scene would you put oh holy crap. What's his name?
Jason.
Jason. I went to say Joe, and I'm like, that's not the right name. Jason Moore. Wow. Like I said, remember, I'm old. Don't blame me.
I have a gif of Jason Moore going down behind a stack of SpaghettiOs cans.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
But I loved looking at the responses to the Hitman one, because first of all, it just makes me happy that so many people still think of Spinal Tap almost immediately when it's rock and roll. But also, I loved how many people put GIFs from Airheads, the Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi movie. And the first thing I thought of was Brendan Fraser. And of course, it was completely fake, no less. Oh. But like his ridiculously long, stick straight hair that he was able to headbang with, like, that's my dream. Because, you know, patreon.com/tradeaddictpod, you could see the poodle I have on my head. That is just like curly and poof. Like to have that stick straight long hair, because I had long hair in high school and it was not great. You know, so that's my dream. My dream is just that long straight hair. And there you go, chain banger. You got three times your money's worth on that one. And yes, Wayne's World is absolutely a rock movie, because a lot of people put Wayne's World gifs in there as well.
No, next, Stairway.
At Eric John Flynn, will there be fantasy football in Utopia? And what would we call the social network we'd use to share our love of the game? Which rookie you're likely to have most shares of once rookie drafts completed? Your rookie evaluation process, what does it actually involve? Oh, that's a lot of questions. All right, so let's start. Will there be fantasy football in Utopia? And what would we call the social network we'd use to share our love of the game?
I mean, there has to be fantasy football, right?
Yeah,
there has to be. Yeah, okay.
Else it wouldn't be Utopia.
So, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there would be social media in
Utopia. That's a good point.
Something else for sure.
Like it would be called Canton. It would be the expo. Like I don't know. Like that to me is the ultimate. I guess it. But if there is a social media, it doesn't matter what you call it, because we're all going to call it Twitter anyway. So you call it whatever you want. We're going to call it Twitter.
Like, I wonder if he didn't pick such a crap name that is one letter and hard to say, if we would have been more willing to change.
No. MFL has an app, Frank, in Utopia.
Yeah, it's called the mobile internet, man. You don't need an actual app. Just put a shortcut to the bookmark on your homepage, and it's like an app. It's the same thing. The mobile site for MFL is
pretty good.
Insanely easy to use.
I like saying that it's the expo, because a lot of people say it's your Twitter timeline come to life anyway. So
yeah, it really is.
Yes, expo. We should just call this instead of calling it X. We should call it Expo.
There you go. I love that.
I love that. All right. Which rookie you're likely to have most shares of once rookie drafts are completed? Is there any? Now, usually this is someone that's not in the first five or six, you know, your first, probably outside of that first top tier.
So for me, I'll kind of double tap it because there's going to be one that's in the top six or seven or eight that I think I'm going to probably have more shares of than most people because I keep hearing him be pushed down. But the answer that you're looking for is Ray Davis, running back out of Kentucky. I think that he's my running back three in this class, and I don't know that I've heard anybody else talk about him nearly that highly. He's one of the very few players in this class that has a three down skill set. And, but my joke has been kind of J Mike laughed. So it has to be at least mildly funny, but like, you remember when Kenny Gainwell was coming out and he was like this incredible downfield threat. You could throw the ball to him and he could run a little bit, but that wasn't really his thing. Well, mm-hmm. Ray Davis is like Kenny Gain better. Like he can do all of the downfield stuff, but actually run.
Gain very well.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then the other player is Brock Bowers. And I think that he's getting short sheeted because of Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
And Brock Bowers is really good.
Yeah, like if he falls to that eight area every single time and I'm there, I'm going to just take him every single time.
Yeah, like he literally has the highest tight end grade that I've ever given out, full stop.
I don't have a name. I'm sort of where you are, Russ, and I don't I can tell you it's probably going to be some day three running back because I don't have a lot of first round picks. Yeah. So it's probably going to be some guy I take a bunch in the third round is who I'm actually going to have the most shares of. But I don't have any guy like one of the secondary receivers or like you said, I mean, to say you're going to have one of the top six guys isn't really to say like anything. So I can't really give you a name other than it'll, like I said, I tend to, after like the first 16, 17 picks, just go heavy on likely potential backup running backs and maybe tight ends that you can get in the later round. So that's one of those kind of guys is who it's going to be, but I don't have a name for you.
See, this is why Frank is the best. What he just put down here is really the right answer. I've watched this show long enough to know the answer is whoever Zach tells us to.
There you go.
But what I was really about to say was I don't have an answer to this because I haven't watched listened to the catch-all episodes yet. And that's where I had my confirmation bias of Puka Nacua last year, where I remember reading or seeing like two or three things from Puka and being like, I think I like this guy. And then I heard things I liked from Zach and I'm like, okay, I'm in, let's go. So I haven't gone deep enough yet. I listened to the two wide receiver episodes and one running back episode. So I have not listened to nearly enough to know.
So pretty much everything you need to know. I mean, I'd go listen to the tight end and quarterback one.
And then this class, I need some catch-alls.
Actually, I guess the second running back show probably had Ray Davis in it. I don't think he made the first one.
He did not. No, he did not. Yeah. There you go. So now I have to listen to it. Thanks, Zach. Do you want to get into what your rookie evaluation process involves?
A lot of film. So I try to not listen to people talk about college players. I try not to watch college players until I am ready to watch them the year that they are coming out. And then I watch 8 to 12 games, sometimes 16 if I really am having trouble with a player, but usually 8 to 12 games, and I chart. And so I go down in plus minus. So every play that happens may have multiple things that are either positive or negative. I chart them game to game. I start with early in the career, work toward later in the career so I can see progression. But by doing that, I can make a really subjective process at least a little more objective because I can physically see what they did, how often they did it, whether there's a progression, whether they were failing at something early, and cleaned that up later in their career. And all of that stuff to me is valuable because I don't just want to have notes like this guy is good, or I want to know why I like this player, and I want to be able to go back and kind of historically put players where I have them in relation to other classes and other players. So like for example, this class coming out, I can tell you that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the third highest grade that I've given out for a wide receiver since 2017, which is pretty wild. I mean, it's you're talking CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Marvin Harrison. Malik Nabers is top 10, which is also wild if you think about it. The only other class to have, there were two. So Jefferson and Lamb were in one class together in 2020. 2021 had Jamar Chase, and I know Rocky's just waiting for the Rondell Moore, but Rondell Moore had a high grade for me. So, like, there aren't very many classes that do what this class is doing at the top. And so to be able to give historical context through watching and the way I watch, and I'm grading each player based on a bunch of traits, and it's a 0 through 10 by half point. So it ends up being about 100. I think running backs is like 110, receivers are 100, quarterbacks are 90, but then you divide by the number of, and then you come out with an aggregate number and you can kind of fit them in. But that's how I do it, at least the shorthand version of what I do. Really, is watch a lot of tape.
What I've always been curious was, I know for like the smaller schools, it's whatever you can get your hands on, but how do you choose games? Like what games to watch?
So again, I'll go through and look for, usually what I try to do is watch games where they are targeted or have carries. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a good game. Like I just watched the game where I think it was Jamari Thrash was targeted like 6 or 7 times and had 25 yards.
Yeah.
I don't care about the yardage. I want to see what they're doing. And like in games that they're struggling, you glean just as much as you do in games that they're playing well. And I try, like at the beginning, I tried to watch cut-ups because there were a bunch of people doing cut-ups and they were great. The cut-up game has become weaker. But there are people who do cut-ups of the offense.
Yeah.
And so you can watch an entire game of a team's offense in 15 minutes. And if I can't get that, then I'll watch full games. And if you can get your hands on all 22, which means you are back far enough where you can see all the players on the field, that's better because you can see exactly what happens every single play. But if you can't get your hands on that, then still watching full games or watching the complete offensive cut up is better because you're seeing guys block. You're seeing how they react to plays that don't go to them. Sometimes you see players make moves and get open and the quarterback just doesn't see them. And it's hard for me to knock a player for doing everything that they're asked to do and not being targeted. So that's kind of how I approach that. So it's not necessarily, I'm not watching the best games and I'm not watching the highlights. It's just kind of, all right, where do they get the volume? All right, I'm going to watch 3 games from his freshman year. I'm going to watch 3 games from his sophomore year. I'm going to watch, 5, 6 games from a senior year or junior year and go. Although this class, you got guys who have been in, Michael Penix was in college for 6 years. So you got some film. You know,
a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
They're called doctors.
I appreciate you guys, but also let me be one of let me talk for many of the people listening right now and say thank you for doing what you do because we get great use out of it.
Well, I appreciate the fact that everyone is receptive and the conversations I have around it are beautiful. I know not everybody has that same experience. But by and large, my experience around rookie drafts, rookie picks, rookie evaluations is fantastic and productive, and it makes me awfully happy that that's the audience that I've got.
Yes, sir. All right, let's move on. at Buffered 9442. What is your favorite, not necessarily best, trade that you've ever made? Or what is a trade you've made that seems like an overpay at the time, but turned out to be huge in your favor?
I don't know that this one is huge in my favor, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the one that you and I made last year, where I sent Bijan, who I hated to part with, but my team was dog water, and DJ Moore, who had an amazing resurgence that I did not see coming, for Justin Jefferson and my early second. And I'm happy to have Justin Jefferson back home.
Look, this is like the definition of a win-win, though. I had Jefferson and Chase on the same team, and it was the greatest thing in the world. But yeah, we made the trade. You got Jefferson. I got Bijan, and who I thought was going to be a solid wide receiver too, but let's go DJ Moore. It's about time. It's your time. And I won. So, and then I beat Dustin so bad, he quit the league. Just saying. So yeah, win-win. What about you, Rock? Did anything come to mind?
I don't know if I can think of anything where something that seemed like an overpay, it turned out to be huge value, mostly because I tend to not overpay. Mm-hmm. Your favorite trade that you ever made is one I think I've said on the show, and I kind of call it my best trade too. So maybe it doesn't fit exactly what he's looking for, because it might be my best. But I've mentioned it pretty early on. I think after the 2018 season, early on in my dynasty career, in a points per carry league, Superflex, I traded Jay Ajayi and Eli Manning for a young rookie who had only played one game as rookie, or second year player, only played one game as rookie here, named Patrick Mahomes. So that was my favorite trade. That was ridiculous. Like, I had no idea what I even hesitated to make that trade at the time, because I didn't know what Patrick Mahomes was going to be. He played one meaningless game at the end of the previous year, but especially for me, who doesn't like to pay up for quarterbacks, and to end up getting Mahomes cheap was super cool. So yeah, that was my favorite.
So I thought about this one, and it wasn't an overpay, but my wonderful flawed logic makes me giggle. I can't remember I can remember exactly what year it was, because it was 2017. It was Kamara's rookie year. And I had an injury at wide receiver, and I had Doug Baldwin on my team, who at the time was really, really good. But I was downgrading and trying to, get some flex players. And I traded Doug Baldwin for Alvin Kamara and Kelvin Benjamin. Now, what you need to remember at the time was Kelvin Benjamin was a target monster for like that 1 year. And I remember talking it over, and the person I was dealing with was like, look, I don't want to give up Kamara. And I'm like, honestly, Kamara is not really what I'm going for. I need these receptions. I need these, like, I want these targets. I want Kelvin Benjamin. Kamara is going to be a fine running back too. That's fine. Whatever. And then she does the trade, and then still brings it up to me to this day. Hey, how's that running back too working for you? Of course, that leaves, Wilson's defunct and all of that. But like, yeah, I wanted Kelvin Benjamin and was willing to take Alvin Kamara as a throw-in to make the value work. And yeah. whoops. All right. Cool. And my side questions, I asked a couple. I can't even remember exactly what all of them were. Hold on. Here we go. I found it. What's your favorite rainy day activity? What's your favorite comfy outfit? And what's your favorite comfort TV show or movie? And he says, activity is video games or board games, and comfort TV is Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is absolutely on my list of comfort TV shows as well. So good. We'll get to ours afterwards. Next, Ascending Descent. 1 QB, start 9. Marv or Neighbors and a random 25 first. So I guess, Zach, you have your rankings. Okay, your hands are together. Just start talking. Go.
I would take Neighbors and the first. And again, that's not to say that, like, Harrison is that guy. But I also think Neighbors is that guy. Like, I think Neighbors is a fantastic wide receiver. I think that some people have him at one. And to me, it's close enough that I've kind of shrugged. And if you give me a 25 first, I will absolutely take Malik Neighbors and be very happy about it. And maybe this is too far, but I tweeted out back after I first watched the two of them, if in 4 years you came back and told me that Marvin Harrison failed, I would be far more surprised by, or you came and told me Neighbors failed, I would be far more surprised to hear Neighbors failed the way he plays than Harrison. And not that I expect either of them to fail. I expect both of them to be fantastic. But Marvin Harrison, the way he plays, there are far fewer wide receivers. It's the kind of the Mike Evans, even T. Higgins. It's the bigger kind of body up. I mean, make plays downfield, but you're high pointing and that sort of thing. Versus Neighbors, who creates a lot of early separation. So it's a throw them open in Harrison and a show open in Neighbors. So again, like they're both fantastic. I'll take the first on top of Neighbors.
Snack said it way better than I could have, but I was already thinking I would take Neighbors in the first, just because I've heard, like you said, me and you, Russ, we basically do a lot of listening to Zach and other people. But everything I've heard, a lot of people, like Zach said, have Neighbors and Harrison super close. And like Zach said earlier in the show, in like 90% of the dynasty drafts of recent memory, it sounds like Neighbors would be like the wide receiver one. So, yeah. So if I can get another guy who's essentially the wide receiver one in his class and a 25 first on top of it, I'll take that. Cause rookies, even guys that seem as sure as Marvin Harrison Jr. and Neighbors for that matter, you know, things can happen. I'll take the two assets and hope that Neighbors is just as good, if not better than Harrison.
Yeah, and I'm along those exact lines where they're close enough that, man, give me a first. Like, that's, again, I know it's random and it's next year, but like, they're still not in the league. We still haven't seen what they're going to become. We don't, at this point, we don't even know what team they're going to play on. Yep. Like, there's still so much unknown that, yeah, I'll hedge and give me that first.
And the cool thing about the 25 class from here, I mean, we don't know yet.
You might actually get a running back.
Looks like there are a lot of running backs in that. And so if you pair a wide receiver one with a running back, all of a sudden you got something going with your roster.
Yeah. Who are some of the backup QBs you are targeting? Are you targeting any backup QBs?
Justin Fields is the backup QBs that I am targeting.
Like, the trade offers I see makes me feel like people believe he's Trey Lance, and I'm not ready to be there.
I mean, if you can get him for, you're talking like Trey Lance, like now?
Like Trey Lance clearly traded as a backup and
is irrelevant. So absolutely go get him for that. Like, absolutely.
Well, no, like trying to get my Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah, no, don't, no, then don't. Don't do it.
Hold on. No, I have not. I am not doing that at all.
You should listen to the Trade Addicts podcast. They'll give you some really good advice about trades.
I try, but that host voice. But is there anyone, like, there's no one, like, it's funny, like, that's not really a game I usually play, you know. I'll always have backup QBs on my roster, but I don't think I ever really go and target any of them. But then, to me, the answer to this question is you go get the guys who, like, you go get Gardner Minshew, you go get Jacoby Brissett, the guys that you've seen do well when they actually get the ball. Because, like, we talked about Carson Wentz. Like, you don't want Carson – you don't want to have to start Carson Wentz, even if he is on the Chiefs. Like, you didn't really want to start Jake Browning. Like, there's, like, you don't really want to start these guys that are bad. So you stick with the guys that were bridge quarterbacks last year, you know, because you know they could still do that.
I'm pretty much with you, and then I don't really target guys, like in terms of trades and stuff like that in that way. But I would disagree a little bit in that I don't mind getting guys that aren't particularly good if they're in good offenses. Because, I mean, like, people were paying seconds for Jake Browning last year. Because he had a couple good games to start off. Yeah, one guy that popped to my mind sort of like that, pedigree, but a guy in a good offense that could maybe perform well when he comes in, even though I don't think he's a very good quarterback, is Kenny Pickett. Yeah. He's not going to be cheap as like a Jake Browning, but I don't think anybody's expecting much. I mean, he's somebody you get thrown into another deal. I'm not targeting Kenny Pickett, but if I can get him thrown in because people see him as useless now, I don't mind that.
Homer. Fair enough. All right. Are you stoked about any second year running backs? Who are the second year running backs?
I'm stoked about Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I almost said besides Bijan, but felt like it wasn't necessary. But thanks, Rock, for proving me wrong.
I did that on purpose. I mean, and then Gibbs is the other obvious one.
Gibbs, Akan, like those. Yeah, I mean, like that are.
You're looking at like Kendre Miller and Roschon Johnson. Like those are the guys you're hoping. Eric Gray. I mean, obviously, Achan is the guy outside of those top two. But to me, Gibbs and Bijan are different. Like you're stoked about them just existing regardless of what year they are.
Yeah, is there anyone else that like lower rank guy, like guys that went in the lower rounds that you think could still pop? Like I know some people were excited about Miller. I guess Spears second year guy.
Spears is second year guy. There's a lot of hype on him. I honestly think Kendre Miller is a good running back. He got kind of banged up last year, but I think he is not a bad. He was my running back 5 last year. I actually liked Eric Gray too.
I know you did. Yeah.
And with Saquon departing, not that that's going to be a thing, but like he's fine. But there's not really anybody that you're super jazzed about outside of the big names. I think probably, like I said, Kendre Miller is probably the one that that pops. I'm a little disappointed that the Bears went and got Swift, because I think that I kind of expected Roschon Johnson to be more than what he has been. It doesn't look like he will be.
Got 6 more years for him to pull the Jerick McKinnon career arc.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, but he was the quarterback earlier in his career. So, you know, has had a little bit longer as a running back.
Yeah. I mean, Spears, honestly, like I even wrote an article about being over the Spears hype, but then they brought in Pollard and people are completely writing off Spears. And I'm like,
yeah,
I really feel like this is going to be a 50-50 split. Like this is going to be Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, the year they got drafted, where like it was great because they did the same things. So neither of them were taken off the field in specific times. They played entire drives, which you want. Like you don't want the guy that's going to get pulled out in the red zone. You also don't want the guy that's not getting any carries in between the 20s. Like, so, and I Spears is good enough and fast. So like, and a good receiver on a team that is going to be throwing the ball a lot more. So again, if you can find Spears for that late second price, which I think is probably realistic, or at least like part of a deal where he becomes that, like maybe straight up, someone might not be willing to do that, but like as part of a bigger deal, I think that's really it. But again, like there's nothing that's clever, like the Grays and Hulls and all of those, like there's none of that. I'm really like, I don't have anything groundbreaking or like super exciting to say. And he says that Super Nintendo, Blankets, and Fletch. That's a good one. Fletch is a good movie. All you youngsters out there, go see the Chevy Chase
version. From the past, yeah.
Last question, at J Howard JR12. And yes, I said JR instead of Junior because that's what I did. What player slash offense benefited the most this offseason from coaching slash offensive scheme change? And he does the smart thing and said besides the Falcons, because that's what we were all going to say.
That's not fair, though.
I know. And now all I can think of is the Falcons.
It's hard to think about it. Who else changed?
But the big joke is that Art Smith is gone from the Falcons. But really, the fact that Zach Robinson signed it, like I loved Zach Robinson. I was like, the Patriots did an interview with him, but there was some conflict, so it was like a video interview, and they were gonna try to get him in. And I was like, don't let him leave. Like, bring him in. Don't let him leave. And they did. This has been a Shanahan-y. I just created an adjective. It's a Shanahan-y year for OCs, because you got Clint Kubiak, who went to the Saints. You've got Waldron with the Bears. You've got LaFleur, who went to the Rams, which the Rams are inherently a Shanahan team anyway, with McVay there. And then Getsy to the Raiders. So, like, you have all of this Shanahan offense influence. The real answer is probably the Bengals, because they just went in-house, and so they get continuity.
Yeah.
But like, I love the Shanahan influence, the open offense, the actually shifting your offense to attack what the defense is giving you rather than just run.
Like, it's almost you're used to having a head coach that coaches intelligently instead of being bullheadedness and running their scheme, no matter if they have the players or if the defense knows what they're doing.
I'm so sad about the state of the Patriots and what they're doing and how they're like, we're going to change things, and except we're not, and we're not going to spend any money. It'll be very fun when they trade out of the third overall for like 2 firsts and a, you know, 5 seconds and a third.
But then they'll end up with 13 extra third round compensatory picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frank brought up what my answer was going to be, and it's not. Well, now it's bolstered because Calvin Ridley, the Titans and their passing game. And that's really just, even if Ridley wasn't there, that would be my answer, because we're bringing a team back into this millennium. You know, this team that, for good reason, because they had Derrick Henry on their team, like, forgot how to pass the ball. And now they bring in guys who are very much about the passing game. And it's just, it's good for football. It's good for fantasy football. So I think... you got to cross your fingers that Will Levis is the real, not even the real deal, that he's not bad. Like, just don't be terrible, Will Levis. That's all I ask of you. Don't be terrible.
I think he can do that. I think that's what he is. He is not terrible.
That's what we need. We need not terrible.
He will make some dumb throws downfield, but not be terrible.
And at least, again, like, he's not terrible.
And if you're going to make dumb throws downfield, it's cool that you have DeAndre Hopkins downfield when you're doing it. At least, like, that's my big answer there. But that's it. That's the end of our show sheet. That is going to be the end of our show. So, you know, I was about to say thanks, Zach, for coming on, but then I remembered I didn't give him a choice. I texted him and I'm like, I'm going to be on this show and you're going to be on then also. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, well, you can say okay, but I was telling you, I wasn't asking. but anyway, thank you, Zach, for coming on. And I love and appreciate you, and thank you. And Rocky, you're just the best for putting up with me. Putting up with the lack of me more than anything else at the moment. But before we do head out, Zach, remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Zach, I am at TacitAssassin13 on Twitter, Dynasty Dummies. Again, really, J Mike, it's really all about J Mike. But if you're listening to the Dynasty Dummies Rookie Hootenanny and like any of it, fantasycares.org/dummies. If you donate with that link, you'll get my film notes. Even if you don't want my film notes, go donate to Fantasy Cares, because it is just awesome. I mean, you guys, if you're listening to this, you know already, but it really is. It's the best part of this community and shows what this community can do in a positive direction.
Yeah. And I know saying this now, it's really funny because we record this on Tuesday nights and we are going to go on the Fantasy Cares YouTube live on Wednesday to release our next t-shirt 3-pack. And Zach, you saw one of the shirts that's going to be involved in it. And it is just so good. And I'm so excited for it. And just in case, if you are listening to this at any point, fantasycares.org/early access. Go there and you could see there's always going to be 2-3 packs of t-shirts available if you go there. Go check them out. You can donate to get a pre-order of either of those. But fantasycares.org, if ever you can, donate some money. If not, spread the word. Spread the idea that charity belongs in fantasy football. Because that's what, even if it's not us, we want it to be, of course. But anyone, anywhere, something that means something to you, make it more meaningful. Make it do good in the world. And if you want that good in the world to be my bank account, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, I mean, just saying a little bit, we'd appreciate that. You can hang out with us while we record. We have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, and it's just a rocking good time all around. And I got nothing left to say, so I'm gonna say good night, everybody. Wait, Rocky's right. Raising his eyebrows. Do I have something to say?
No, Rocky, don't
scare me like that, Rocky.
Sorry. I did not mean to raise it. It was just, I don't know what happened there, Russ. But good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.